I was in the back of the room a moment ago, and as I walked in, two of the girls were talking, and one of them said, "There he is." Another one said, "Yes." Well, you know, that'd stop anybody. It sure stopped me in a hurry. And the first one says, "You know, I'd rather hear him talk than eat." And the other one said, "Me too. I've heard him eat." I believe that if you define what your objectives are, that you can reach them. Most people, however, never define what they want in life. And then they wonder why they don't get everything that they allegedly dream about wanting. Which reminds me of this old boy down home. Now, I warned you earlier, you remember that there are an awful lot of old boys down home. His wife sent him out to buy ham. And he got home with a ham, and she said, "You didn't cut the end of the ham off." And he said, "Well, why do you want the end of the ham cut off?" She said, "We always cut the end of the ham off." No boy said, "Why?" She said, "We cut the end of the ham off because my mama cut the end of the ham off." So they went to the kitchen and where the mama was and said, "Mama, how come you to cut the end of the ham off?" And mama said, "I always cut the end of the ham off because my mama cut the end of the ham off." No boy said, "Well, we're going to solve this three-generation mystery in a hurry. Let's call Grandma long distance. Let's find out why she cut the end of the ham off." So they called Grandma long distance and said, "Grandma, how come you to cut the end of the ham off?" And Grandma said, "I cut the end of the ham off because my roaster was too small." Now, you see, Grandma had a reason. But what about you? Have you got a reason, or do you just follow? Do you just do things because that's always the way it's been done? Did you know this is an absolute fact? When they move sheep from one pasture to another, that if they put a little bar up as they go from one pasture to another, the first sheep will jump the bar, the second sheep will jump the bar, the third sheep will jump the bar, and then they move the bar, and every sheep from there on in will keep jumping a bar that's not there. Did you know a lot of people jump a lot of bars that are not there? A lot of people climb a lot of mountains that never exist. A lot of people have difficulties simply because they never define what their objectives really are. You know, the name Howard Hill might not ring a bell with you, but Howard Hill died a few months ago. He was a good Alabama boy. And he also was the greatest archer that ever lived. Howard Hill won 296 consecutive archery tournaments. He was never beaten in competition. He won 6 national championships before he was forced into retirement. He was forced to retire because when Howard Hill entered a tournament, all other archers automatically withdrew because they knew he would win. He killed a Cape buffalo with a bow and arrow, a Bengal tiger with a bow and arrow, the bull elephant with a bow and arrow. When I was a youngster, I have seen in newsreels Howard Hill hit a bullseye at 50 feet. I mean, hit it dead center. It wasn't one fraction of an inch off. And then he would take the next arrow, and he would literally split the first arrow. An amazing demonstration of skill. So when I make this next statement, as you listen to these recordings, you're probably going to raise your eyebrows just a tad. But I could take you, and I don't care who you are or where you live, I could take you and spend 20 minutes with you teaching you about archery. And even though you've never had any previous experience, I can guarantee you that I would have you hitting the bullseye more consistently than Howard Hill could have hit the bullseye on the best day he ever had. Now, I would insist that you blindfold Howard Hill. And you probably, as you listen, say, "Well, that's silly. Obviously, I could hit the bullseye better than a man who's blindfolded, but how in the world could a man hit a target that he could not see?" That's a legitimate question, and it's a good question. Now, here's another one I think equally legitimate. How can you hit a target that you don't have? Have you got one? Oh, I don't mean that someday you're going to have, a big home or a big car or a big bank account, but someday you are going to accomplish this, that, and the other. Those are what we call wandering generalities. See, you'll never make it big in the ballgame of life as a wandering generality. You've got to be a meaningful specific. I love the story that is factual of John Henry Fabre. Jean Henri Fabre took some processionary caterpillars in a rather intriguing experiment. Now, they're named processionary because one caterpillar follows the other in a procession. And as they follow each other blindly, without question, without hesitation, they just follow the one in front. So Jean Henri Fabre took some caterpillars and lined them around a flower pot until they formed a complete circle, and they were moving in this complete circle. Now he put some pine needles in the center of the flower pot. And as those caterpillars were going round and round, they went 24 hours the first day, 24 hours the second day, 24 hours the third day. As a matter of fact, for 7 full days and 7 full nights, they went round and round the circle until they literally dropped dead of starvation and exhaustion. Mary, with their favorite food less than 3 inches away, they starved to death. We see this in the richest land in the world, right here in America. We see people with an abundance of wealth right at their very fingertips, at their disposal, and yet there are people who are not succeeding because they do just like the processionary caterpillars. They confuse activity with accomplishment. And there's a vast difference. That's one of the reasons you could go in any city, USA, stop 100 young men on the street and ask them a question, what are you doing that will absolutely guarantee your failure in life? And I can guarantee that 100 of them will look at you and say, what do you mean? What am I doing to guarantee my failure? I am, in fact, working for success. Well, if they are, something is bad wrong. Because if you follow all 100 of them, starting at age 25, follow them until they're 65, only 5 of the 100 will have made it who are still alive. Only 5 will be successful financially. Only 1 of them will be wealthy. And that's in America, a land that's so unique that a few years ago I saw where a man had been released from the federal penitentiary in Atlanta, Georgia, and he had accumulated a small fortune in prison running a little tailor shop right there. A land that is so unique that it lets even a prisoner who uses his imagination and ingenuity create wealth within the prison, and yet only a small fraction of those free people in America accomplish their objectives. Why is this? I was flying over Niagara Falls a number of months ago. And as we flew over the falls, the captain of the aircraft came over the intercom and he said, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who've never seen the falls from the air should look to the left-hand side of the aircraft because it is a magnificent sight. We were at 28,000 feet. That's well over 5 miles. We were an additional 5 miles away when the captain dipped the wings of the aircraft so we could get a clear view. A 10-mile distance. And yet, as I looked at those 10 miles between me and the falls, you could still see from that great distance the spray coming up from the falls. 3 million gallons a minute were falling 180 feet, and you could literally feel the awesome power of Niagara. As I looked at the view, my mind turned backwards to the thousands of years that those trillions upon trillions of tons of water had fallen over Niagara Falls and dissipated into the distance, and so far as we know, accomplished very few of its major objectives. And then one day a man came along with a plan. He looked at the falling water and the enormous power that it was generating. And he said, you know, if we were to put some wheels there and catch just a small portion of the water as it falls and get it to turn in those wheels, we could generate some electricity and we could build homes and schools and factories and hospitals and we could create industry and wealth. And the man did exactly that. Even though they catch only a small fraction, they've generated trillions of kilowatt hours of electricity. They have educated children. They have healed the illnesses. They have created prosperity and wealth. They have built buildings and automobiles and schools and factories and contributed tremendously to the economic value and growth of that entire area. It happened because a man came along who had a plan. You got to have a goal, ladies and gentlemen. You see, if you analyze it pretty carefully, we have a lot of kind of goals. We have family goals. We have mental goals, physical goals, social goals, spiritual goals, and yes, we also have financial goals. J.C. Penney a number of years ago said, give me a stock clerk with a goal, and I'll give you a man who'll make history. But he said, give me a man without a goal, and I'll give you a stock clerk. You got to have goals. Can you imagine the chairman of the board for General Motors? And somebody comes to him and said, how did you happen to be chairman of the board, General Motors? How did you get all the way to the top? And he said, well, I just started showing up for work every day. And they promoted me, and I showed up again. They promoted me again, and I showed up again. I kept showing up. They kept promoting me. And here I am, chairman of the board. And, of course, everybody says, well, that's kind of silly. And, of course, it is. See, you got to have a goal, because it's just as difficult to reach a destination that you don't have as it is to come back from a place that you've never been. And that's awful tough if you think about it. Let's play a little game. Let's pretend that tomorrow morning you were to get a phone call. And the voice at the other end of the telephone says, Sally, I got fantastic news for you. You and your husband have just been invited to attend a fantastic 3-day retreat at Tantara Lodge. One of the most beautiful, one of the most fantastic places in all of America. It's up in the Ozark in a setting that is indescribably beautiful. We're going to be staying in one of the most beautiful condominiums you have ever seen. We're going to be overlooking the lake. We're going to have the facilities of the lake, a big magnificent boat. Everything is going to be at our beck and call. And they're going to pick you up at the airport right in your own hometown in the corporate jet. You and your husband are going to be given the wining and dining treatment. You're going to be given every courtesy. You're going to have the run of the place. You're going to be the queen of the walk. Now, the reason you're getting this little trip is because we have room for two more, and it won't cost us anything, and I know you enjoy the trip, and so we're going to invite you and your husband to go. All I want to know is, can you be ready to go tomorrow morning at 8:30? Members of the live audience, if you were to get the phone call, would you be ready to go tomorrow morning at 8:30? But now wait just a minute. You get the invitation, and I know what would go through your mind immediately. Oh boy, will I ever be ready? But once you hung the telephone up, is it not true that you would start thinking, boy, I got to do this, and 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 you and your husband have a little council of war, you know, and you say, we just got so much to do. And then in your little session, what you really start saying is, well, I tell you what, I can get this done by 9:30, and you take care of this one, and I'll be certain to see that this one is handled, and I'll do this one right here, and I'll handle this, and let's do this one next, and this one next. You would put down exactly what you had to do. You would divide the chores. How many of you honestly think that during the next 24 hours, you'd be able to do more than you normally do in 3 or 4 or 5 days? Can I see your hands? Let me ask you a question. Why don't you go to Tantara tomorrow, every day of your life? Do you realize actually what was taking place in your own mind? You had said, yes, sirree, I'd be ready to go. And then you would identify all of the things that you had to do before you could go. What you have done is you have set a goal. You have identified the obstacles that stand between you and the goal. And then you have determined and planned in your own mind the way to overcome those obstacles. That's really what goal setting is all about, isn't it? Why don't people have goals? You know, everybody talks about it. Everybody agrees that it's important. Everybody agrees that you should have them, and yet most people are not. Many times I've talked to people about goals, and the answer I get so many times is, well, you know, I've got my goals, but I'm not going to tell you what they are, because I hate these smart addicts that are always talking about what they're going to do, and then they don't do it. Now, as soon as I get there, then I'll tell you what my goal was. You know what they're really saying? Look, friend, I'm scared to death. I'm not going to make it. And I don't want to be wrong at the top of my voice. So they never make their plans. They never set those goals. And these people who never set those goals, I'll simply say this. When you get to be an old man or an old woman, you're going to be looking over the fence watching somebody else gathering all the apples. Let's look at some of the characteristics of goals. Some people say to me, well, you know, the reason I never set goals is because nobody ever specifically told me exactly how do you set those goals, or they've never really convinced me that I ought to set those goals now. Or some of them are going to set them as soon as they get around to it, you know. And that's the reason we include the round to it in the course, as you might well recall. Let's look at some of the characteristics of goals. First of all, they got to be big. A goal's got to be big to create excitement. Because you see, unless you're excited about what you're doing, unless you're moving and motivated, unless you're determined to utilize the enormous potential that's inside of you, then a goal is going to be very meaningless. As a matter of fact, that's the reason a lot of times a good tennis player is beaten by a mediocre one. Because the good tennis player did not feel the challenge, and his goal was not big enough to be worthy of the challenge. That's the reason a good football team is often beaten by a mediocre team, because they did not have a sufficient challenge, and they became overconfident. I'm convinced you got to have a big goal to force you to reach down and use everything that's inside of you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not what it is, it's the way you see it that gets to be important. Whether you're the butcher, the baker, or the candlestick maker, whether you're a salesman, doctor, service station owner, minister, whatever it is, some of your colleagues are doing extremely well, doing exactly the same thing you're doing. And some of them are not doing well at all. And I don't care what it is that you're doing. You see, what I'm really saying there is it is not the job or the profession that has the opportunity. It's the individual and the way you see that job or see that profession. Let me simply say this, that you got to have a big goal. Whatever it is you're doing, you look at it properly. You look at the leadership in the company. You look at the people who are doing the top job, and these are the people that you use as your models, and you can succeed so much more. First of all, a goal's got to be big. It's got to be long range, too. And the reason it's got to be long range, you see, we're going to have some frustrations in everyday activities. There are going to be people who are going to be disappointing to us. There are going to be activities that we're not going to approve of. There are going to be incidents that would tend to discourage us if we did not have those long-range goals. The rule is a very simple thing. You go as far as you can see, and then when you get there, you'll always be able to see further. On Thursday morning, I'm going to get aboard an aircraft at 6:05 going to Memphis, Tennessee. When that aircraft takes off, we will be headed directly for Memphis, and we're going to fly to Memphis for about 15 minutes. And then in 15 minutes, we are no longer going to be going to Memphis. I don't know where we're going to be going, but it will not be to Memphis, Tennessee, because you see, the direction of the wind is going to change. The velocity of the wind is going to change, and we're going to be blown slightly off course, so the captain of the aircraft will turn the aircraft around, come all the way back to Dallas, land, and start over. Right? Wrong. That's exactly right. What he is going to do is he's going to make a slight adjustment. And when he makes that slight adjustment, then he's going to be going back to Memphis again. Now, why is he going to make the slight adjustment? Number one, because he knew exactly where we were going. He had a specific destination. See, the goal must also be very specific. If he just decided to get up there and say, well, I think I'm going to take these folks for a little ride, then when he got off course, he wouldn't know it. See, if you don't have a destination, how can you ever know when you're off course? And most people are, in fact, wandering generalities. They show up for work every day and then avoid it. They do a lot of things in their life. They never really clearly spelled out exactly what it is they want in their life. Many times, you see, if you don't have a long-range goal, when you think you deserve a promotion or when you get awfully close, when you think something good is going to happen to you and you don't quite make it, if you don't have a long-range goal, you look at that short-range frustration, and it many times it will destroy you. My world has been the world of selling for an awful long time. And I know I've seen many people, you know, who would be building an organization, building for the future, building their own security, and they would have an objective of reaching it. But their objective would not be clearly defined. It would not be spelled out clearly enough. And what frequently would happen, they'd get so close, and they would only need two more recruits or one more recruit. They'd only need to have X volume of business in order to get their promotion. And then the very people that they knew was going to put them over the top quit on them. And what happens? Long about that time, our, quote, friends and relatives enter the picture. A next-door neighbor says, well, Sally, I tried to tell you, you know, that everything that glitters is not gold. I mean, you know, after all, just because somebody else did it, that does not necessarily mean that you can. Now, I'm going to suggest this, Sally, for your own good. Why don't you get a job? You know what I'm saying? What I'm really saying is that if you don't have a clearly defined long-range objective out there, then you react to disappointment and you're susceptible to this influence that these other people place upon you. Yes, the rule is a very simple one. You got to have a big goal, got to have a long-range goal, and it must be very specific, but it also has got to be a daily thing. Oh, you know, I can romance these long-range goals to a standstill. I can talk about those big goals, you know, and I can get the stars in my eyes, and maybe even I can get them in your eyes, you know. We dream the big dream. We see the big vision, and we see it up there. Oh, it all is sweetness and light. And then I have to bring up this subject about what you got to do every day. Because, ladies and gentlemen, it's what you do every day that's going to determine whether or not you reach the big one and the long-range goal. Charlie Cullen, who was one of my favorites before his death, expressed it so magnificently when he said that the opportunity for greatness does not come cascading down like a torrential Niagara Falls. He says it comes slowly, one drop at a time. It's what you do every day. It's the mother who makes those daily deposits of love and discipline in her children that determine what they're going to be able to do to a very large degree over the long haul in their life. The weightlifter who wants to lift a lot of weight has got to start slowly and develop on an everyday basis a muscle here and a muscle there, yes? It's what we do every day. And these daily objectives are the best indicators of and the best builders of character. This is where your dedication and discipline and determination enter the picture. This is what, as I said earlier, takes the glamour out of it and gets right down to the nitty-gritty of what we're really talking about. It's the husbands and wives on a daily basis who daily demonstrate their love and their affection, who build a marriage that is going to endure over a long period of time. I mentioned the fact that goals must be specific for a very simple reason. You can take the hottest day the world has ever seen and take the most powerful magnifying glass that you can buy in any store. And you hold that magnifying glass over a pile of newspaper clippings, and you will never start a fire on the hottest day the world has ever seen if you keep the glass moving. But the instant you hold the glass still, harness the power of the universe, multiply it through the glass, and boom, you've got a rip-roaring fire. Goals must be very specific. Now, I'm going to talk about one aspect of goals that's kind of the unmentionable. I'm going to be talking now for a few minutes about negative goals. Because, you see, goals can, in fact, be negative. So let's look at the three conditions under which a goal can be negative. First of all, if you don't accept the idea that you and you alone must be the architect of accomplishment, if you think luck is going to determine whether you get there or not, friends, you got a negative goal. It can be negative if it's unrealistically big. And I know I'm going to have to walk a pretty thin line here because I've been talking about big goals and I'm going to talk about them more. But it can be too big. And I'll elaborate in just a second. And third, it can be negative if it's not your goal. You cannot reach somebody else's objective. You must have your own clearly defined objective. So let's look at this biggest bugaboo of them all. Let's look at the goal that's too big. I believe I can have a goal too big. I don't believe, and I was on one of the local talk shows, and the lady doing the interviewing said, well, I take it because of your positive thinking, you believe you can just do anything. And I said, no, ma'am, I sure don't believe that. She looked a little bit surprised. She said, would you explain? I said, I'd be glad to. I said, I don't believe how positive I get. I don't believe that regardless of how hard I train and how diligently I seek instruction, I honestly don't believe that if you were to put me in the ring with Muhammad Ali, I don't believe I could whip him. That's a goal that's out of my area of interest. I'm too old, I'm too slow, and I'm too scared. I just don't think I'd have a chance. I don't think positive thinking would enable me to accomplish that objective. I think that's a goal, and it's an exaggerated one, obviously, but I believe that it was too big. I believe that if Bob Segrin, who's pole vaulted over 18 feet, were to show up at a track meet, and the track director were to say to him, Bob, you've already done 18 feet, let's move it on to 25 feet, that's really something for you to shoot at. I believe that if Bob Segrin were to see that 25-foot barrier, he would be defeated in his mind before he vaulted. I don't believe he'd go 15 feet. It can be too big. Now that I've said this about the two big goals, let's see, and incidentally, some people will deliberately set a goal that's too big. Many times they will set a goal knowing that it's impossible for them to reach it because they're not seeking admiration from friends for accomplishment. They're seeking the sympathy of other people. And so they set a big goal knowing that they absolutely could never do it. And then they, when they don't reach it, their friends are inclined to say, well, you know, that was a pretty high goal, or that was too ambitious, or it was too big. Now that I've said this, let's get back into these goals. Let's see how you go about setting your goals. Let's find out exactly what we must do if we are, in fact, going to reach our goals. First of all, ladies and gentlemen, you have got to find out where you are. You see, most people never really realize exactly where they are. I'll never forget. A number of years ago, I was in Columbia, South Carolina. I was in the cookware business. And I had a young salesman that was in my office, and we were talking about next year. It was early in December. And I said, what are your plans for next year? And he said, well, I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to sell more next year than I sold this year. And I said, that's fantastic. How much did you sell this year? Big old smile on his face. He said, well, I don't know exactly, but I'll guarantee you I'll sell more next year. Now, here's something kind of interesting, isn't it? Didn't know where he was, had no idea where he'd been, but with the confidence that generally goes with ignorance, he said, I know where I am going. And before you laugh too loud and long, let me ask you a question. Do you know where you are? Do you know where you've been? And if you can't answer these two, how can you honestly determine exactly where it is that you're going? I don't believe that you can. The young man and I had quite a little chat. I challenged him to become an immortal in the cookware business. And that's, you know, that's pretty glamorous, becoming an immortal. He said, how do I do that? And I said, well, it's easy. You just break the all-time company record. And he was drinking a cup of coffee at the time, and I thought he was going to spill the coffee all over everything. Now, he said, you know I could never do that. And I said, what do you mean you can never do it? He said, not only could I not do it, but no man will ever break that record. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you know the record's not honest. I said, what do you mean? He said, the guy that set the record had his son-in-law working for him, and the son-in-law sold as much as he did. You see, the young man's loser's limp was, the record is not honest. I looked at him and I said, I believe the record is honest, and I believe you can break it. All you got to do is take the best day that you have ever had, or the best week you've ever had, multiply it by 50, and there's your record. He just kind of grinned. He said, that's easy for you to say, but it's tough for me to do. I said, not only is it tough, it's impossible if you really don't believe that you can. Because, you see, you're going to accomplish whatever it is that you deeply, completely believe that you can. He said, well, I'll think about it. Now, I was glad that he said, I'll think about it, because, you see, a goal that's lightly set is also going to be lightly broken.
You've reached the end of Side A. Please turn the cassette over for the beginning of Side B.